This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number two here on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us on a Monday. It is going to be draft heavy this week leading up to Thursday's first round. We're going to try to get somebody on this week from Atlanta to talk about that Hawks fourth pick. We've been saying this for a while now. That seems to be the key to really unlocking this draft and where it's going to be going. We think quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, and 3. Well, we know quarterbacks are going 1, 2. San Francisco is going to go with the quarterback as well. Who goes in what order? Outside of the first two, we have no idea where San Francisco is going. Leaning towards Mac Jones and Trey Lance would leave Justin Fields open. And if you like Justin Fields, Atlanta's sitting there at 4 just waiting for the phone to ring. So we'll probably try to figure out what Atlanta is thinking. And also there's this rumor that they're in the market for a trade for Julio Jones to try to free up some cap space. They're not in a very good position cap-wise. And if they can get a deal done where they take maybe some of the money and somebody else takes the rest, that might benefit them. But again, you hear these kind of rumors all the time. However, over the weekend, remember when we last left actual football? What did we see besides Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl? We saw Patrick Mahomes running like a lunatic all over the field at Raymond James Stadium. 500 yards of scrambling against a rushing Tampa Bay defense that wanted to put him into the ground. Well, they have bumped up their offensive line. They have picked up Orlando Brown from the Baltimore Ravens over the weekend. In exchange, the Ravens get 3 picks, a first rounder, a third rounder, and a fourth rounder, as well as a 2022 fifth round pick. Orlando Brown did not allow a sack in 700 snaps last year, and now goes on to an offensive line where Joe Thuney is on the team now. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is expected to come back after opting out from COVID-19. Lucas Niang is also expected to come back out. So Kansas City filling some holes on their offensive line, which was desperately needed after the last time we watched actual competitive football. Coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We get you started this week as we continue on a Monday on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the Monday edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb. But a reminder that coming up this Saturday, Andy, the Destroyer, Ruiz Jr. will take on Chris, the Nightmare Areola, arguably the two best Mexican heavyweights in boxing history, squaring off in a Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view main event. This pay-per-view is an all-Mexican boxing extravaganza. 3 pay-per-view undercard matchups featuring exciting all-action toss-up fights. It begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, again, Saturday, May 1st. It's priced at $49.99. Buy the pay-per-view on FoxSports.com PPV and watch on any screen. Again, this Saturday, May 1st, Andy the Destroyer Ruiz Jr. against Chris the Nightmare Areola at FoxSports.com/PPV. All right, let's get the good of the day to kick off the week.
All right, well, this edition of the good, the bad, the dumb will probably be a little baseball heavy. In fact, I know it'll be baseball heavy.
Okay.
But the good of the day wasn't so good for me. Per se, Fernando Tatis Jr. went bonkers over the weekend.
He did.
And this is where you kind of love baseball a little bit, is the fact that some weird things can happen. And if you remember, his father famously hit 2 grand slams in the same inning.
That's right. He did.
Well, on the same date, 22 years later, Fernando Tatis Jr. hit 2 home runs against the Dodgers. By the way, his senior did it at Dodger Stadium as well.
This is crazy. These are like amazing coincidences.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind how the universe works.
Then the following day, he followed that up. His father had hit a home run the following day, 22 years later. And Tatis Jr. hit a home run on the same day, 22 years later.
Nuts.
So, but the other part of this good, which isn't, you know, like I said, it's not really good for me, but this is where I hope baseball is heading. On his home run on the second day against Trevor Bauer, Fernando Tatis Jr. was covering an eye. I'm not really sure what that means, covering an eye for it, but he was doing it to taunt Trevor Bauer. And we all know Trevor Bauer to be a hothead.
Right.
And have opinions.
And speak his mind, yeah.
And speak his mind. Well, this is what Trevor Bauer had to say about Tatis Jr. doing that taunting celebration.
I want to say something about that because I think it's important. You know, he did it in the first. I didn't see it because I was paying attention to doing my job. And then he did it again when he homered off me again later in the game. Their dugout was doing it. And I like it. I think that pitchers who have that done to them and react by throwing at people or, you know, getting upset and hitting people or whatever, I think it's pretty soft. If you give up a homer, a guy should celebrate it. You know, it's hard to hit in the big leagues. So I'm all for it. And I think it's important that, you know, the game moves in that direction and we stop throwing at people because they celebrated having some success on the field.
That's a good way to put that.
Yeah.
That's very good. I'm glad he's saying that. He's trying to set the public bar where people might go, yeah. And so when a pitcher does that, like Trevor Bauer thinks you're soft, and I think you're soft too. And maybe he'll change the thought process of young pitchers.
Baseball needs to have some sort of identity. And there's this youth movement where, you know, the old guard is complaining about bat flips. It's complaining about, you know, the antics that are going on in baseball that you traditionally have never been there. And I think it needs this in order to capture the youth.
I do too. I do think that you are the youth audience is not, they are what they are, right? They're young. Their thoughts will evolve as they get older, but they're young and they like what they like. And it's very hard. Have you ever tried to convince a young person to like something you
Yes.
like as an old? It's very difficult. It's very difficult. You can sit, like, if you ever sit, like, I did this with my son as he was growing up. I would sit him down with, like, classic movies, and I'd go, you need to watch this classic movie. And he'd watch
Still
it.
Still do it.
Some hit. Like, he loves Goodfellas and loves it, but some don't. And so he's like, Dad, it's boring. This is from your time. It's boring. So kids like what they like. And if you're baseball and you hit the youth over the head with, you can't have fun in baseball, then they'll go, well, then I don't care about baseball.
Yeah.
What do you want? I'm not changing for you. I'm not going to go, oh, okay, what are the rules to liking baseball? Because I desperately want to like baseball. They'll just go, well, I don't like baseball. Thanks.
I mean, for me, it's even though he's playing for our new rival and, you know, and personally, I think he might be playing for the wrong team now. But I'm loving everything that Tatis Jr. is doing.
I am too.
I cannot stop watching him.
I'm telling you right now, this is so. We talked about it when he signed that deal. It is so problematic for baseball when you've got two gigantic stars on the West Coast. I mean,
yeah.
Tatis and Mike Trout. It is so problematic. But when you can watch them, East Coast person that doesn't want to stay up late, they're great. They're great to watch. They're great. They're so fun. He is a blast. Tatis Jr.
He's not playing baseball the way baseball should be played. He's Absolutely. Playing the way baseball like needs to be played now.
And it's good on Bauer to sort of see a big picture here. And he's right. I love when pitchers go, I'll applaud him. I threw my best stuff and he hit it out
and
of the park.
Hit it out of the park.
What
happens?
Sometimes I strike him out and sometimes he hits one out. When he hits him out, I gotta give him credit. Got my best stuff there. I love it because it's a confidence. It's not cocky. It's a level. It's not arrogant. It's like I threw my best stuff and he hit it out of the park. I still got my best stuff, but I'll get him next time. It's that.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. All right. What's the?
I'm going to skip
another one.
Yeah. No, I'm going to skip to the dumb of the day.
Okay.
Because
we'll the dumb.
Right. Yeah. Just because it kind of involves Tatis Jr. as well. And that is this extra innings rule. I know we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
It reared its ugly head with me last night because in the top of the 10th inning, or top of the 11th inning, I'm sorry, top of the 11th inning, who gets put on second is the last out from the previous inning. It happened to be Tatis Jr.
Right.
And as soon as they put him on second, I sat there, I watched it, There's zero outs. I'm like, you know what? Game's over. He's scoring.
He's scoring.
I hate this stupid rule.
I know, man. It's dumb.
I mean, there was nothing in me said, oh, well, maybe they'll get three outs. Like, no, this guy is scoring. He steals third easily.
We're reaching that point with the vaccines and whatnot that this whole idea of getting games done because of the pandemic is silly. Is this a rule they're thinking about keeping?
Is this one of those rules
that they're like, use the pandemic to creep into baseball and then said, well, once it's here, we might as well just keep it?
Yeah, I don't. I was watching it last night and thinking, it's like, well, okay, if Tatis Jr. scored, he got a run. And the Dodgers came close to getting a run as well because they were able to move a guy over with one out. They had a decent player. I think Chris Taylor was on third Corey Seager was on third. And I was like, you know, this, all we need to do is just get a base hit. Then, you know, and he scores easily. I was like, this actually might prolong games. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's funny that it's just,
but God, it reared its ugly. I hated it before. I hate it even more now.
The rule, the funny thing about that rule is it was created in the minor leagues before the pandemic. It was a thing that minor leagues were going to toy with. Remember? I think they actually implemented it in like a summer league or something. And then Major League Baseball was like, well, we don't want baseball players playing 15 inning games in a pandemic. We're trying to shorten the contact, so this is what we're going to do. And now as we get closer to full vaccination where the pandemic is going to be something of the past, I wonder if baseball is going to go, nah, screw it. We're just keeping it.
Yeah.
We're just keeping it.
But if you're going to do that, then give us a consolation prize. Bring in the universal DH.
I know. Give us the universal DH.
So, I'm changing this midway. That will be the bad of the day is the extra inning rule because it's just a terrible idea.
Yeah.
The dumb of the day is another rule that MLB did put forward. I'm okay with it, but I don't know how it's being used properly today. And that's 7-inning doubleheaders.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
I don't mind 7-inning doubleheaders.
Me either.
However, yesterday we had something that has never happened before, and I'm on the fence about it. I don't know which way to lean. Madison Bumgarner threw a 7-inning no-hit game.
Yep. And a done deal, right?
Like done deal.
Leave
no.
after seven.
Seven innings, you're done.
And let the bullpen finish it. Done.
Game wasn't
over.
Shortened because of weather or whatever have you. It's doubleheaders are now 7 innings, which I don't mind that because you're playing back to back games in the same day. I can understand why you wanting to go to 7 innings, but if this has happened, is this rewriting record books?
Yeah, well, it's not in the record books, right? It's unofficial.
It's they're kind of on the fence about it.
They want to do something about it because it's a no-hitter. It's a done deal. It's a game that finished with no hits. You can't just throw it out as this occurred in baseball history where we don't remember it.
Yeah, but should he be credited with the no-hitter because all the other ones go nine?
I think he should.
See, that's where it's
not his fault.
No, it's not his fault.
Like he threw his job was to play their job was to play a 7-inning game. The entire managerial thought process was a 7-inning game. Right? That was the process. We're going to play 7 innings. We're going to get our runs. We got to get them, we can't go in. If we go into extra innings and the runners on first base, second base, that changes. But right now we're going to play to try to win this game in 7. And they cruised. They won 7-0?
Yeah.
Right? Madison Bumgarner's job was to keep the Braves' bats in check for as long as the game was put in the box. It was 7 innings. He did it. Now, I know people say, oh, it's only 7. But
well, one of the first things, I can't remember who said it. It was an old baseball writer who was like, I can't remember who it was, but so-and-so will have issues because he had an 8-inning no-hitter that doesn't count.
Oh, that's right. Who was that guy?
I mean, it's an older, this was back like in the 80s.
Guy lost.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think that game was called because of weather or something like that.
Andy Hawkins pitched a no-hitter and lost to the Yankees in the early 90s. So
yeah,
there you go.
But see, I
would give it, I'd give him
one. I think you have to. I think you have to credit as a no-hitter. I don't know.
I'm not trying to be soft on these things. I'm not trying to be all like, whoa.
No, but that's that's the rule.
But he pitched. They didn't go. They weren't going 9 innings in a 7-0 baseball game. There's nothing he could do, right? Like,
yeah.
He couldn't petition baseball to go, hey, I'm going to no-hitter. Can we go two more just to have some fun here?
No, baseball is like, game is over. You, no rain out, it's over. You, in the confines of what this game was from the moment we started, you did not allow a hit. Good, done, you're finished. No hitter.
Yeah, I mean, now do we sit there and go...
I do understand the other argument, though. I get it. It's nine innings is...
But that's part of that old...
Six more outs.
I think that's part of that old thinking, though, too.
I do, too.
Like, oh, no, no, we maybe just put an asterisk next to it saying he only went seven innings because he probably would have given up a hit in eight or nine.
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, he could have mowed them down, too.
The Braves... People don't... Listen, the Braves yesterday played a doubleheader against Arizona. They lost 5-0 and 7-0 in 14 innings of baseball.
Yeah.
They had one hit. One. They were one hit in the first game. And then they were no hit in the second game. That's crazy. Especially for the Braves, one of the favorites. So.
I know. The fact, I mean, only one hit. I mean, they must have been out partying Saturday night.
All their bats must have been just like somehow repelling the ball. Like, oh, it's slippery. I can't
even. Yep. Someone on the Braves is getting Joe Boo today. That's why. You know,
yeah, that's right.
Bring him in.
That's right. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. When we continue more in the NFL draft, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. On Twitter, they're going to have to create a new category for seven-inning games, just like the NHL created overtime long. Losses. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, how many no hitters in a 7-inning game are we going to get?
Right. I mean, if there's all of a sudden a barrage of them,
right.
A pitcher has in his mindset like, I only got to go 7 innings today. Yeah, that's one extra for Blake Snell.
That's right, yeah. That's one extra for Blake Snell is right. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know, that's an interesting debate, right? If you were Major League Baseball, what would you do? How would you categorize the Bumgarner no-hitter in a 7-inning doubleheader? Because, like as we said earlier, it isn't a 9-inning no-hitter, but at the same time, it's also in the confines of a regulation game. It's a complete game. So, but then you go back and like, did anybody have a no-hitter when a game was cut short because of rain after it became official? I don't know.
We somewhat credit, I mean, I know it's not official, but don't we somewhat credit like when a team no hits? Like we've had that happen before.
Oh,
like, the starting pitcher comes in and he goes, you know, 4 or 5 innings, and then there's like 2 or 3 relief pitchers, but combined they had a no hitter.
Yeah,
and we celebrate that.
Exactly. I think the Angels had a combined perfect game years and years and years.
Yeah,
ago. Yeah.
I think you're right.
It out of a perfect game. Like, you're the starting pitcher. And they're like, we're going to give it to the bullpen. But I got a perfect game. I know, but I don't know the
circumstances. I think it was early on, though. I think it was like 5th inning.
Yeah, maybe they were like, maybe the starter got hurt. I don't, it was probably, I think it was in the 80s or early 90s. So, but I do remember that. So, but yeah, I mean, look, Bumgarner is, you know, he's historic pitcher, World Series champion and all that. You know, multiple World Series champion. Be nice to put him. Does he have a no hitter in his repertoire? In his resume?
Bumgarner? Oh, yeah.
Of this one? He has a no hitter?
Yeah.
Well, you say that like he would have 3 or 4.
I think he does.
Okay. But, I mean, usually you get one.
I'm going to look it up real quick.
All right. Well, maybe, yeah. If he does, then add this to the resume. So, because, you know, it was a 7-inning game.
That's the way you kind of have to lean, right?
The Braves, man, though. Come on. 14 innings of baseball, you hit the ball one time. You got one hit. What are we talking about? How in the world did Arizona come in and mow the Braves down in 2 games, holding them in 14 innings of baseball to one hit? Even with Madison Bumgarner. That team is supposed to be loaded for bear. right? Come on.
Yeah, it says right now. Well, just says right now. This is according to Wikipedia, but he's not credited with the no hitter right now.
No. So does he have another one? Does it say?
I'm still looking that up.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
I'm looking up the Braves. Look, Ronald Acuna Jr. had an abdominal strain a couple of days ago, but he's back in the lineup. Freddie Freeman, Marcell Ozuna, Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson, Austin Riley. That unit in 17 innings of baseball managed one hit? That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. I get it if you do that in a doubleheader to some lousy team that called up every minor leaguer they had in the books to see if they can play. This is the Atlanta Braves. They were one of the favorites to go to the World Series out of the National League. Sometimes we just have those days, right? 14 innings of baseball. All right. All right, so the draft coming up on Thursday. We got the Trevor Lawrence party at the beginning of this draft in Cleveland. By the way, it's going to look good. I know last year it was kind of silly after a while with the first round when we were having it with the commissioner late into the night, and we were all on Zoom, and the crowd was behind him, and he was having a little bit more fun as the night progressed. We're kind of getting back to what the draft should be. It's not quite there yet. Wait, you wait till the first official pandemic is kind of over. We got it all back to normal party that the NFL draft is going to be. I was thinking about this. I remember we were just buzzing about this the other day because 2 years ago was the 2 year anniversary of the draft in downtown Nashville. And it was 100,000 people. It was all up Broadway. It was just a great sight for the city of Nashville. And then everybody was saying, boy, next year in Vegas, man, it's going to be, you think this is, wait till next year, it goes to Vegas. Well, we didn't get that because of the pandemic, obviously, but they went to Cleveland and they're going to go back to Vegas. But the first real time that fans feel like everything is okay, we can start traveling, we can start mingling with one another again, right? I think that first NFL draft is going to be an explosion of a fan fest celebration. This is the one event, we were talking about this last week, this is the one event the NFL does that allows everybody to be involved in it, right? Playoffs can't do it. Super Bowl obviously can't do it, right? Even like the kickoff game on Thursday, that's still two teams. The one thing where everybody has an interest, everybody has something, is the draft. Now, your team may not have a first-round pick, but it has a second or a third. Somewhere along the line, your team is going to be making a selection. Somewhere along that line. And as this event has grown, people's knowledge of players have grown, right? They're buying into what Mel Kiper was selling close to 40 years ago when he was like, hey, look, you can get all my grades and all these players. You know, you may be limited on your black and white TV antenna of knowing who's playing for Oregon by living in Brooklyn, New York. But guess what? I've got those details for you. Now it's much more detailed. It's much more, fans are more knowledgeable. They do understand. They know these players. They watch the combine when we could watch the combine. And that is an event that deserves the celebration that it gets. That, of course, it's a pilgrimage for people to go to these cities now. And that was the one thing the NFL saw. They saw it in New York. They saw people traveling all around the country to come to New York City for the draft. Because as that thing was getting bigger, they started noticing this is something people are willing to take time off from their jobs to come be a part of. So we're going to take it on the road. We're going to go to all these different places. And I think Cleveland is a great place to go. I think it's a fantastic sports city, very passionate fan base, especially for the Browns. But man, when this thing gets to Vegas, when they finally explode in Vegas, I'm really looking forward to it. I remember thinking that the NBA All-Star game in Vegas was going to be something special. It's going to be, you know, another level of party atmosphere. I think the draft is going to just kill it. It's going to kill it in Vegas when we finally go there. And good for the sport and good for us. Because as I was mentioning earlier, the Academy Awards were last night and they totally botched the broadcast. By all accounts, it was boring, it was terrible, it was uneventful, and it didn't carry any of the same sort of pageantry that award show is known for. The draft last year had to do what it had to do, but it still executed itself flawlessly. It was a really well done broadcast. It was well done technically. And now getting back to the stage, getting back to players, you know, getting back to Goodell, being out in front of people, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And again, it's the coronation of a three-year process with Trevor Lawrence getting the number one overall pick by Jacksonville. The fun may start with Atlanta at four. That's what we've been saying. But make no doubt about it, seeing Trevor Lawrence and hearing his name announced as the number one pick by Jacksonville, we've waited 3 years for this moment. Will this kid be a Peyton Manning-level superstar? Will he be a sure-fired guy that is going to start winning games for this organization? I don't know, but I do know this. The hype train has been moving on this kid for longer than just 3 years at Clemson. And now the first step in the process to see if we were all right about this kid is going to be there. All right, it's Sports Map Radio, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. All right, coming up, we'll get into more of the draft. We'll get to the more of some of the places, players that you're going to be seeing later on. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. You've been hearing me talk about Tub of Towels, and for a very good reason. 30,000 five-star reviews. Because unlike other wipes, Tub of Towels literally breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease on the surface to clean just about anything. And when I say anything, I've been telling you, permanent marker, ink, glue, wax, food, drink stains, grease, oil, tar, paint, stains, adhesive, decals. You can use it in your car. You can use it in the garage. Bring it inside. Use it on the appliances. Use it on your outdoor grill. Use it anywhere you see dirt and you need to wipe it down and you need to clean it up, because Tub of Towels will clean virtually anything. Proudly made in the USA, and each wipe contains aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin. It's gentle on the hands, but tough on the messes. Vapor lock lid snaps shut, keeps those wipes moist so you can use them over and over. Try squeezing the tub and test its strength. Tub of Towels, available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, and Napa, and Pet Boys. You know you're going to have messes. Get the cleaning towel. I'll wipe that up easily. It's a Tub of Towels.
I got a question for you.
Yes?
Is this one of the more crazy lead up to a draft we've had?
In terms of...
of the quarterbacks?
Yeah, listen, I haven't seen a draft this quarterback top heavy in a while. Yeah, I've seen quarterbacks go. We've seen five guys go and whatnot.
I bring this up because, you know, we had talked about this in hour one about, you know, what's wrong with Justin Fields.
Right.
Right? I just saw Charlie Casserly, his draft projection, his mock draft. And he has Justin Fields, and I know you don't mind this, going to the Steelers.
I know. There's a Steelers board I'm on that people are like, if Justin Fields falls down, should we trade up to get him? I'm like, with who? I'm like, that's amazing if that would happen.
Right.
Yeah, I would love it.
I love it. I've never seen, with this third pick with the Niners, so many rotations, so many versions of, oh, they're going to take this guy, this guy, this guy. It's like every single day. Now it's, you know, it's like, well, they're really leaning towards Mac Jones and Trey Lance now.
I saw that this morning, right.
But it's like, wasn't just last week that Justin Fields' stock was risen all the way to three?
It had gotten down. It was down, then rose right back up again. And I don't know what's going on, but it's falling again.
Like, why is it dropping now? What did he do?
It's falling
again. Is it because he hasn't had another pro day in the last couple of days?
So let me ask you this. If I were to say, okay, Ron, Take or turn down this bet that the first five picks of the draft, nobody trades in. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, Jets, Zach Wilson, San Francisco, Justin Fields, Kyle Pitts to the Falcons, Penny Sewell of Oregon to the Bengals. Would you take that bet? Or would you think that something chaotic is going to happen with that Atlanta?
You had me until the Bengals. Because there's a lot of rumors of even going after Chase.
I wouldn't be surprised with that at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's talks. I mean, we all know the Bengals definitely need an offensive tackle. I mean,
without question.
Burrow was having a fantastic season. He goes down with a season-ending injury. We don't even know if he's going to be back for game one. So your high priority is getting an offensive lineman, but you know there's a lot of really good wide receivers. One of them happened to play with Burrow. I don't know if, you know, do you match that up? Do you pair that up?
I mean,
and I know football, there's no romance in football. You could make that argument that this would happen in baseball, but there's no romance in football at all. It's business.
It's business.
But I can see them pulling the trigger and going for that. They definitely need Sewell. But right. I can see them passing on Sewell as well.
If you're a quarterback in the NFL, a number one overall pick, you need to be able to throw to anybody your team gives you.
Right.
Like you don't go, I need this guy because we were hooking up back in the day kind of thing. The team should say, I don't care. We pay you money to throw to whatever wide receiver we give you, and you better make it work. That's why you get $30 million a year or whatever, you know, Burrow's on it, obviously the rookie deal, but that's why you pay down the road. You pay for that kind of money. But Chase is not the kind of play, like, he's not the kind of wide receiver that's a reach, right?
No.
He's probably going to go to the Dolphins right after the Bengals take Penei Sewell if that's the way they go, right? Like, Ja'Marr Chase is a first-round top 10 pick.
Yes.
So if you're the Bengals, and it's not like Chase is a second rounder that they're going to squeeze into the first round because Burrow's like, please, can I have my old teammate?
Right.
It's a legitimate number five pick.
Yeah, you're going after like a Julio Jones.
Right. You're
type of player.
Like, getting a type of player. Exactly.
You know, someone who's just going to perform, you know, be there week in, week out. He's going to, you know, 100 yards, 100 receptions a year, 1,000 yards receiving a year. I mean, that's the type of guy you're going to get out of him.
If I was in the coach's room making this pick, okay, if I was in the coach's room making this decision and I heard some people in the room saying, well, Burrow, this would be a great combination. Chase can certainly play. We think he can play at this level. He's, you know, quick. Yes, he took a year off and, you know, whatnot. I would remind people that Burrow can't throw to Ja'Marr Chase if he's on his back and injured again.
That's where I'm.
Right?
That's my thinking.
That's
you know,
what I would
but
say.
You always know they sit there and go, okay, well, you know, maybe we can find some talent in the second round.
Of course.
We're picking early in the second round.
Exactly
we can find right. a good talent.
I was saying this earlier, and I think there's something to this. I think if Atlanta is either taking Kyle Pitts or they're trading that pick.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the consensus, right? They're either taking Kyle Pitts or they're going to trade.
Well, there's nobody else they need.
There's no defensive player that is anywhere near
top 10.
Yeah, exactly. So if they are defensive oriented and they're going to go with need rather than best player on the board, which in this case, I would advise Atlanta go best player on the board. You as an organization, and I used to say this about Jacksonville all the time, as an organization, you don't want to be picking in the top five. Right, you don't. As an organization, you want to be good enough where you're picking middle to bottom of the thing. It means you've had somewhat a successful season, had a winning record, made the playoffs, etc. But when you do get an opportunity, which should not be every single year, Jacksonville, of picking in the top five, then you take the best player on the board, and if it fits your need, even better. Right, and in case of like the Jets, of course they need a quarterback. They just traded their starting quarterback. They need a quarterback. Zach Wilson is going to be the best on the board. They'll take him. San Francisco, they don't necessarily need a quarterback, but we know they want to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, best player on the board is whoever they decide today who's the best quarterback.
Yeah, it was funny. It just seemed like, I mean, not that long ago, maybe it might have been like, I think up to 3 weeks ago now, when San Francisco made that trade to three, there were a lot of people saying, hey, if they go after Kyle Pitts, I wouldn't be upset with them moving up to three.
I agree.
And then have that two-headed soldier of Kyle Pitts and George Kittle.
Yeah. But Kyle Pitts is amazing. He's a real super talent. And
yeah.
Here in Atlanta, it's got, and again, as I said earlier this morning, for Arthur Smith to not take Kyle Pitts, he would be ripping his hair out.
Unless he was able to trade down.
Right.
And that's the only.
But again, trading down to get defense.
Right.
Right. So it still would be, it's still for him, it would be, I want this kid. Like, your whole life, right? Your whole NFL career has been geared towards an offensive mindset, right? What can I do offensively? What could I do with this? I'm sure when he was at Tennessee, he would look at film and go, man, if I had that guy, I would do this, this, and this. Like different players that they would play week in and week out, right? I'm sure when he would look at tape of like Lamar Jackson, he'd be like, oh my goodness, man, if I had that kid, I'd do this, this, and this. When he watches the tape of Kyle Pitts, you got to think he's thinking, I'm the head coach now. I would love to have this kid on my team with all the versatility that he has. So for Atlanta to then trade that pick to pick defense, somebody's winning the, like the general manager of that team is winning the room, right? Like, look, we know this kid is amazing, but guys, we stink at stopping people. Right? We have got to do a better job of preventing teams from scoring. So let's
yeah, because
do that.
I mean that was last year. Falcons
last
weren't a bad
terrible.
Team,
right? But they
is that a bad defense?
And again, if you're Dan Quinn and you built your reputation on defense,
yeah, you had
and you
to
can't
go.
Stop anybody. You're fired.
You had
right?
to go.
Same with Arthur Smith. If Arthur Smith is the head coach, if the Falcons offense is putting up 16 points a game, he's not going to last long, right? His job is to be the head coach, but he's also the reason he's a head coach is because his offenses in Tennessee were good. Like they were decent. He turned Ryan Tannehill's career around, utilized Derrick Henry in the right way, utilized Jonnu Smith in the right way, right? Built a strong young wide receiving core. Right, there was a lot to like about Tennessee's offense. It wasn't just handing the ball off to Derrick Henry. And that's what created a reputation for him. So watch the Falcons at 4 Thursday night, because if they take Kyle Pitts, Arthur Smith won. If they don't, he got outvoted by his general manager. His boss went, appreciate your input, but this is where we're going. We're trading this pick. We're getting other picks, and we're going defense. So keep your mouth shut.
So I'm seeing another quarterback list where Justin Fields is number two.
I'm not kidding. This is so fun. It's ridiculous.
I'm scratching my head like, okay, he's number two, but he's going to be picked in the second round at this point.
Jacksonville better not take Justin Fields.
Nah. I think that's the only surefire bet. I bet you Vegas doesn't even have odds for that.
The odds, I was looking at this the other day, the odds are like one in like 100,000 or something. It's crazy.
They're not picking Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's off the board. I don't think
it
you
has
can
to
bet.
Be.
I don't think you can bet that. You can bet who the number two pick is, even though it looks like Zach Wilson is going to be number one. But
yeah.
You can really
so
bet
I don't
the
hate,
49ers pick.
But the only thing that just blows my mind is, what's wrong with Justin Fields? I don't understand.
It is perplexing. It's been very perplexing because, again, I go by what I see, and I saw a really, really good quarterback that knows how to play the game. Like, he's not a one-trick pony. He throws under pressure. He can run. The toughness of him staying in that pocket against Clemson and firing and keeping them in that game at the Fiesta Bowl, that was as a gutsy a performance as you will see a quarterback have.
Yeah,
and
20-2 in two seasons with Ohio State.
Whatever it is, people are just it could be smokescreen. We're not 100% sure. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us at Sportsmap Radio. Jake Asman Show coming up next. Michael on Twitter, the 2018 NFL Draft with Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, and Josh Allen was pretty quarterback crazy. Yeah, that's right. There's been a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because in that draft, Mayfield went one and people were like, whoa.
I remember I was there, it was just because everyone kind of got the alert beforehand. I don't know who broke it for. I don't know if it was like Schefter or Rappaport or something like that. It was broke beforehand. And then you just heard like this, like in the media section, you just kind of heard this murmur wave.
Right.
Like everyone's just kind of talking. And then, you know, by the time it reached you, it was like, oh, Mayfield's going first.
Wow. Yeah, and then Rosen was, what, the 10th pick overall?
Yeah.
Darnold went, you know, to the Jets, and then Allen.
Yeah, Darnold went three.
I remember when Allen went to the Bills. Remember, there was some off-field.
No, it was a reach.
Remember that? I was like, Josh Allen, I don't know, man. He had some, like, off-field problems, and you don't want to mess with this kid.
Small school.
Wyoming. Now he's a megastar. Megastar.
Probably the best one out of that draft.
I agree. So, at least At least he's on the same team that drafted him. Baker Mayfield is, but Darnold and Rosen. Is Rosen still kicking around as a
I think Rosen's out of the league.
Is Rosen seriously out of the league?
I think so.
That's incredible. Is anybody had more bad, awful luck than Josh Rosen in his NFL
career? Okay, well, here's where it says, all right.
He's got to have landed somewhere.
Cardinals 2018, Dolphins right. 2019, Buccaneers 2020. But he was just an offseason practice squad member.
So he wasn't even on the Super Bowl team.
No. Niners 2020 to present.
So he's on the Niners.
I guess he's on the Niners.
But just a practice kid. Practice squad guy.
Probably. Well, I mean, it doesn't say here.
Like, 2018 wasn't 15 years ago, right? It was just a couple of years ago. And that kid never found a home and was a top 10 selection in the draft.
Three teams in 3 years.
Well, you know, like, again, he goes to Arizona. He's a rookie. He doesn't he can't turn that organization around, for crying out loud, right? But he did, you know, he did what he did. And then they had the number one pick. And they were like, well, we got to take Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray's just, we got a new coach, new quarterback. We got to take Kyler Murray. It's like, okay, that's understandable. He goes to the Dolphins. Can't get anything there. Can't get traction there either.
No, so much to the point that, you know, they said, we're going to go with the old man, Fitzpatrick, and then we're going to draft Tua on top of that.
And then we're going to draft another young guy. This is the second one that's happened to you, but you know, we're going to draft another young guy to take the job you desperately want.
With the Niners, the reason why he went to the Niners, because he was signed off the practice squad from the Tampa Bay. He didn't even make the real squad.
Oh, my God.
Tom Brady probably said, no. Yeah, I don't need him. Don't worry.
This is the one pick this is Tony Mandrich bad.
Yeah, this is what he was signed by the Niners because of the injuries to Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullins and practice squad quarterback Josh Johnson.
He should just have business cards that say, when every single possible option fails, I'll play quarterback.
Now, the Niners did sign him to a one-year contract extension in February, so...
Seriously, I bet his agent's like, hey, I got Josh Rosen here. He's like, here's the deal. We're going to go with an offensive lineman to be quarterback of every, like, when case of emergency breaks glass.
Here's the thing. He's with the Niners. So we already know going into this next season, he's third string.
So
maybe. Or maybe he's just going to get cut outright.
Okay, whatever. He's part of the organization that's yet again going to draft another young kid to take that job. This guy, I'm telling you, man, there is somehow the universe is telling him to find another profession, right?
I think you're right.
It is screaming at the top of its lungs, find something else to do with your life. We cannot make it more clear. This isn't you going, I'm going to overcome all the obstacles. The universe is saying, we'll just keep putting obstacles in your way until you get it. Poor Josh Rosen, man. That stinks. Meanwhile, Josh Allen is a mega superstar. And Baker Mayfield's not that far away. He keeps making the playoffs. Not that far away. We'll see what Sam Darnold does.